As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Head down the 7 line and hit the Showers Plaza. Knock on the door at the mayor's office, and there's our great friend John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington, awaiting. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to be with you again, Mike. Hope you're well.
I drove by Bryan Park Pool on Sunday afternoon when the temperature was dancing in the low to mid-90s, and that place was packed. So, people taking advantage of the water. The chlorinated water, we'll get to that in a second. I was going to segue there, but we've got too many. Well, water is important. Let's do that, because we were joking off the air about the chlorinated taste. My kids are yelling at me. I said, relax. I will get this taken care of. We will drill down and find some answers. But I saw and heard, or I can't remember, it all runs together here at 4:10 on a Tuesday. But Jackson, Mississippi, they've got pump issues and flooding and stuff, and things are broken. They've got 180,000 people with barely any water. It is a big deal, and people should be concerned about it. Let us know what's happening.
Look, one of the most important things we do is keeping people with water in their taps and carrying wastewater away and stormwater, and that's a 24/7 operation. It is true, and we're very lucky. All the drinking water that we get comes out of Lake Monroe, which is a wonderful reservoir and mostly forested watershed, so that's all good. It is also true that during the driest and longest sunlight days of summer, we can get more algae growth in the lake than we like, and that a combination of very little rain, which otherwise helps dilute and cut this back, and the long sunlight, which helps algae grow, I guess. Again, I'm not a biologist, but means we can get some musty kind of smell, and CBU, the utilities department, tries different methods to kind of knock those compounds, which are totally healthy and non-harmful. There are no health issues with it, but it can have just some aesthetic impact, so they try to knock that down with various methods. It's kind of cyclical, and we do the best we can. I will tell you this, if you have any real issues, you're welcome to call the utility department, 812-339-1444, or online. You can go and check with them. They also do suggest masking the taste and smell. Can be put a pitcher or jug of water that you drink into the refrigerator, maybe throw a fruit wedge in it or something, and maybe your kids will be okay with that. I don't know. But it's totally an aesthetic issue, and we work on it. I know every summer at this time, it hit a little bit about this time last year too. So we want more rain, and we hope the algae will get knocked back a little bit.
And that's just a simple, you're right. We're not a biologist. We don't play biology on the air. But yeah, that's it. And it's not, it's preventative what? Well, it's just we're not killing anything. People think or taste or feel chlorine, you think, well, you use that to kill things. Well, kind of, but it's not humans.
No, it's really dealing with, it's not even dealing with anything that's alive or harmful. It's just chemical byproducts of algae and pure aesthetic. Again, if anybody has questions, if you have concerns, you can talk to the real experts at the water department. You're welcome to do that. We also provide free testing, by the way, if you want your water tested for various things, so you can get in touch. But just try to be patient. These long, dry summer afternoons in August, summer days in August, can cause the algae to affect our drinking water, which comes, again, out of the lake. So it's a little different from a place that might have well water that doesn't have the same impact cyclically from a summer day like this.
Well, I was going to say, or it's not from Poland Springs, or it's not from it's whatever the other bottled waters we enjoy, or whatever that could be. No, it does come from a lake, and it does have to be treated. And that's part of the being in the outdoors sometimes. So we know that Lake Monroe is where that all comes from, and that's just just how it's going. We don't have one of those big clear plastic bottles somewhere that we just pull it out of there. No, it's not.
It's a great water source for us, but it does have the surface water issues of occasional weather adjustments.
So we got to let Mother Nature stir the pot a little bit to get us up and running. Well, speaking of up and running, the last week here in August will turn into the first days of September, into the Labor Day weekend. Your online 24 hours a day, bloomington.in.gov, that never closes, but your offices next Monday, I'm guessing, will not be open for folks.
We are closed for Labor Day in City Hall. Of course, city government keeps working, but we will close for Labor Day. Sanitation picks up, and all our first responders are on the job and all that stuff, but City Hall will be closed.
And leading into the Labor Day weekend, you have budget meetings, budget hearings. Where are we at in the process? You had a great, at least I thought it was great, on Friday, 45-minute media session outlining everything you were going to get to this week. For those who did not catch all of that or were busy this weekend, let's take them through the process of how this starts, where we go, and what are our main focuses this year, because I know you have a lot of them.
City budget, annual budget, we run a calendar year, so we're getting ready to ask the City Council to appropriate the money for 2023, and that's a kind of defined by state law how that happens. And second-class city, my responsibility is to deliver a balanced budget, and I do that. This year, while most cities in Indiana don't do this, but we do, most cities just have a budget hearing or two where I present the dollar amounts in each account, et cetera, et cetera. But in Bloomington, we have a week-long, four or five hours each night, presenting by each department of all the city departments, 16 departments and subheadings, to go to council and explain what's coming next year. So we started that last night. I kicked it off kind of with a big overview, and then it'll go through. We had several departments last night. Tonight is Bloomington Transit and Bloomington Utilities and Police and Fire. Tomorrow night is a bunch of other smaller departments, and then the last night is Public Works and all of their components. So if you are interested in city government, tune in to CATS. It'll be carried live. Now, I did say last night, Mike, this is my seventh budget, and this is by far the most significant and biggest new budget. We've got the new $16 million of income tax that's new this year for 2023. We're really leaning into kind of the new era of Bloomington. I said it's not too much to say we're entering a new era, really focused on improving government services and treating our people well, being a workplace of choice, focusing on sustainability, trying to make sure we really are committed to addressing the climate emergency, building a sustainable community, and then also that we want to be a city that truly welcomes everybody and works for everybody, where everybody can live and feel safe, feel they have a place to live, affordable housing, and a great place to live with wonderful public spaces and arts. And so it's hard to get your hands around. It's a $229 million total budget when you include all in the city, including utilities and transit and housing and all that stuff. And it takes us a while to talk about it, but it's an exciting prospect, and we look forward to continuing to work with the council and the city to try to build the best budget we can.
And to put it in perspective, around $178 million was the budget, so almost a $50 million increase. Talk about where that money comes from and what it has to be spent on, because we can improve service and services. Some of this is one-time money, as opposed to where we can, instead of saying we're going to hire X amount of people, that money, part of that money won't cover all that. How do you balance all of this?
Yeah, so it's let's talk the where the money comes from. Most of the new money that we're talking about is coming from one of two sources. It's either the new local income tax, which I said brings in about $16 million a year, or it's coming from federal money, either the kind of the Rescue Plan Act money or some of the infrastructure money. The $50 million that you mentioned, so again, 16 of that is from new taxes. A big chunk of that is actually in Bloomington Transit, and this is kind of an example of what happened. So we're committing just under $4 million a year of local money to the Bloomington Transit system. And last year, this year, current year, their budget is $15 million. When you add $4 million of local money, that's a big deal. But most of their money, which their next year's budget is $20 million higher, going from $15 to $35 million, most of that is because we're going to be, we think, pulling in a lot of federal money. For example, you, some of you may have noticed we had a $7 million federal grant awarded just a week or two ago to buy 8 new electric buses. So our local money helps pull in a lot of extra money, external federal money. We're also seeing that American Rescue Plan Act money we're able to spend. We have a, 2 more years of that, probably 23 and 24. And that's helping us with housing and helping us with basic services and public safety. We're using that. So, you know, we're seeing major increases at Bloomington Transit, which will be a, it's gonna grow. It doesn't happen instantly, but into an even better transit system in the years to come. And similarly, we're investing seriously in public safety. We're going to be building a new police headquarters and building, repairing much-needed fire department, fire stations and such as that. So it's a lot of different things, but mostly focused on helping people live basic good lives here with the kind of services that they want from the city.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. The budget hearing started last night and will run through the end of the week. You can watch on CATS, or you can go back and watch on CATS as well. We talk about transportation. I know it's been bandied around. I'm just going to weave this back into the convention center discussion that getting into the county for some transportation lines and services, and is this part of the longer-term focus, bringing this all together?
Well, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. We of course, still have annexation pending. We haven't talked about that for a day or two or something. but adjusting the city boundaries is still, it's in the courts right now. The bus system in Bloomington is set by law to be coincident with the city boundaries. And that's where the tax revenue comes from, too, locally, from the city residents to support the bus system. We have talked about extending the bus service to particularly important areas outside city limits. It's complicated, and trying to figure out the equities is relevant. But we have talked about that in connection with the convention center, saying if the county would transfer the convention center to the city, which we strongly urge and think could help us move that forward expeditiously, that's something that could help us, you know, hey, we're trying to figure out a way that we can scratch your back and you scratch our back, right? We continue to work closely with the chamber and the tourist industry and the hotel-motel industry and all to find out ways to expand the convention center. And there's a meeting tomorrow at noon that'll be discussing that with the county commissioners, and I very much hope they can find their way to move forward with this.
Marty Hawk will join us tomorrow in this same half hour and give us an update on how that went. So that's good. As quick as we can get it turned around. And we had Mary Catherine Carmichael with us, the chief negotiator for the city. I believe it's going to be who's from the county? Cheryl Munson from the county council. Eric Spoonmore
right.
will be there as well. 30
Sue
minutes.
Gambolleri from the city council. Yep.
So you've got 30 minutes sounds like a lot until you start naming off all these names and you say, well, geez, that's going to be. But again, it's better than not having a meeting, and hopefully we can get this moving across. We know the budget hearings will go all week as well. And, well, in just a few minutes, you might have a group of people outside of City Hall. It looks like I saw a press release and did this story yesterday. The Bloomington City Workers, the Ask Me Local 2487, is demanding you, yes, you, to the bargaining table to fulfill promises to employees who are essential in keeping Bloomington running through the pandemic. Workers say citing the budget hearings as a reason to postpone contract negotiations is a tactic to prevent more than 150 essential workers from getting the pay they deserve. Without going into negotiations here, I know you don't negotiate on the airwaves or in the media. You shouldn't, and you don't. Give me a background on this story and what we hope to get back to the table.
You know, one of the one of the main messages I gave to City Council last night and to the public was how important our city workers are providing essential services. I agree. We have an amazing bunch of 800 employees who, you know, make sure we get clean water and make sure our trash gets picked up and our streets are safe and our driveways are and alleys and streets are not blocked and, you know, everything. Our parks are beautiful and all kinds of stuff. Our housing's safe. And they do a fantastic job. And it has been a hard time. And I said that last night. This budget actually does unprecedented support for our workforce. And we announced a bunch of things last night. I can go over a 5% cost of living adjustment.
Yeah.
$1,000 per employee payment, kind of reflecting the challenges of inflation on the one hand and COVID and the pandemic on the other. We're adding a new match program for retirement savings up to almost $800 a year. If you put much money in, we'll double it or even triple it with the city side to help you save for retirement and adding to the health care plans and adding in health clinic next year. Anyway, a lot of stuff like that going on. Now, we do have three unions that represent a number of our employees, the police union, the fire department union, and the AFSCME union. That's kind of the municipal workers, more general union. We negotiate with each of them in turn as their contracts come up, and we're negotiating with the municipal employees, AFSCME, this year because their contract ends this year. It is very, very typical that we negotiate past the budget time, often because, as we do this year, we need to know what the budget is. It's hard to negotiate to details of an agreement until you have a budgeted plan for next year. So we did pause just during this budget, intense budget development. We've met weeks ago and months before that, and we'll meet again in just a matter of a week or two or three, I don't know, not very far. Just in this immediate period of time when we're presenting the budget, we had to take a pause to make sure we could get our budget together. And we look forward to negotiating. I think we have till the end of the year to get the contract set for next year. And I'm pretty confident we'll get there. And they're wonderful workers, but it is also a negotiation. They come with their desires, and we come with our opportunities and desires and limits and sit down at a table. And sometimes people like to do that in front of city council or on the radio or whatever. That doesn't usually work very well, but we'll keep negotiating. And if they're out front, I'll probably run into it tonight sometime.
4:30, the party starts
out
front. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us every Tuesday as we navigate a very growing and busy city of Bloomington. And you mentioned annexation earlier. Any update on, I don't know how the legal system works. You do. That completely helps out. Do they send you, hey, we're going to get to this in 2 weeks? Do they send you a save the date like for a wedding or something? How does this all work?
We're in what's called discovery right now on some preliminary matters. So we'll wait. We're in the middle of kind of taking some depositions and some trying to establish some facts. There's a preliminary question of was the remonstrance period appropriate? Was it handled right? Which we're pretty confident it was, but a court's got to decide that. So we're still kind of in the warm-up phase, I would guess I would say. We hope to have a trial that will really dig into this next year. And that's on the big West Side stuff, areas 1A and 1B. And then the other question, the constitutional question of whether the state assembly could again jump into the middle and change our waiver rules, that's a separate litigation that may take a little bit longer to get up to the Supreme Court if it has to do that. We'll see. So I'll keep you posted. No big news this week.
All right. It, like you had mentioned before, though, it had been quiet, and sometimes no news is news, and sometimes no news is simply no news. How's your smokestack? It's not your smokestack anymore, but are you pleased with the progress that it's moving in the right direction?
Well, you know, I found I could say, okay, the J went down today, and then the next day they got the O and the H off, and then, you know, it's right out my window, so... That we're pleased that privately owned smokestack, which got approval from the Historic Commission and from the council and others to allow it to be taken down to a safe level, is pretty much down to that level. I can look out my window and see where they are. Those workers were You know, they had to watch the sky for lightning and storms. Sure. They had to watch, they had the crane out there. It was a pretty intense effort. I believe they just took it down a layer of brick at a time, you know. And I think it's going to be around 60 feet. It looks pretty close to that now. And then that will be stabilized. And very soon, we hope we can open up the trail again that's been detoured for many months. And then we'll have a long-term question of what's going to, is it going to stay looking like that, or are we going to ask for a change of that? And they want to build some housing near there. So there's a bunch of other things that have to happen. But I am very pleased that very dangerous tilting smokestack is now, we're out of danger, I believe. So that's a good thing. Nobody got hurt, so far as I can tell, and that's progress.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa remains in Italy. That's where it belongs. Mayor Hamilton joining us today. Speaking of public safety, your public safety officers were busy yesterday at Target as a bomb threat was had to be dealt with. I mean, there's just, once you think you've read it all or seen it all, Mayor Hamilton, I mean, I wasn't thrilled with this. I'm not going to get back into it. I got hot last hour about it, but that's frustrating. We know there's a new jail coming down the pipe. We know that you guys in the city are trying to find new police and fire headquarters as well. But it's just what a pain in the rear end. Thankfully, there was nothing happening with this. But that's not funny anymore. That's not, you got to know better than that.
Yeah, that was really unfortunate. I got notified of that last evening, just after I did my budget.
What do you feel like? Well, you just faced the council. You're trying to get the budget going, and then you look down at your phone. It's like, bomb threat, call me? How does that work? How do you? Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, we're all relieved. It was not, in fact, a bomb, and it was a disturbed. I probably can't comment much about it. It was an individual who's been apprehended at the scene, but, you know, it was very scary, of course, for people who were there, I'm sure, and had to empty out the Target and the whole mall, as I understand it, and then we had to get the bomb squad in to make sure it wasn't a bomb, which
it
wasn't.
You can't cut those corners. You start this process, and that's the whole thing. You can't goof around with stuff like this.
And, you know, we had that real early in my tenure in a street in my neighborhood. Somebody had left something on the road that we were afraid was a bomb, and had to get the squad in to look at it. And you know, you got to be very careful, and I appreciate the professionalism of all the people who do that work here in our community, and I think we got some people from outside the community to help as well. I appreciate the public's patience with this kind of thing. It's unfortunate. We need to keep vigilant, and better safe than sorry. Let's just put it that way.
And I remember from your comments on Friday, you're looking to add 8 or 9 new public safety jobs. That's going to be tonight's presentation, correct, from the fire and the police? Not all those are perhaps officers on the streets. If you would like to explain to our listeners, that's going to incorporate multiple positions.
Actually, you know, we have 105 sworn officer positions funded in the budget this year, and we have low 80s actually in the position. So what we're actually going to be doing, for example, is hiring a full-time recruiter to help us recruit both fire and police officers. We're going to be adding some non-sworn officers to help do some of the work that can be done by non-sworn officers. Look, it's very difficult to hire sworn officers. That's true. You can knock on any city hall door in the country, Mike, and you'll get, I think, a similar story that it's a difficult time to hire police officers and firefighters. We're going to be adding a social worker. We've talked about that before. A social worker right in dispatch, the 911 call center, who can have calls transferred to them as appropriate to deal with issues on the phone in the dispatch center rather than waiting to send somebody out. So we're doing a lot of different things. We have housing incentives to help hire police and fire, big significant housing incentives. We've got referral incentives. We're going to be hiring some new fire department employees who are focused on health interventions. We have a lot of people who get emergency 911 response because of a health issue. That's normal. But sometimes we have patterns of individuals that are seeing frequent usage that way, or individuals that may have chronic conditions, and we can do a better job, not with a big red fire truck, but with a couple of people who are health experts who can help a individual navigate that. So we're doing everything we can. We're actually going to even do a panel to look at, let's say, 1,000 911 calls that went out last spring and say, could we have handled those differently? Could they have been assigned in different ways? Kind of a triage and a relook at that. So there's all kinds of things being done. I'm really proud of our police and fire. You've heard me say this before, but we are the only city in Indiana that has a number one ranked fire department, nationally certified ISO 1, and a nationally accredited police department, CALEA, National Accredited Police Department. No other city in Indiana has both of those, and we got them right here. They do a great job. They're under a lot of pressure, and we want to help them in all the ways that we can. And that includes retaining who we have, hiring new people, and diversifying the whole group of public safety folks who can help respond to problems.
And that's it? That's all you got? No, we got about 200 other things that we could have got to this afternoon, but I know you're busy today. You're busy all week. We thank you for your time. When we talk to you after the Labor Day holiday, we'll kind of look back and see, maybe fill in some of the blanks of things we didn't get to today, because I know you had, I have written down sanitation, street department, parking, leafing. I got thousands of things, but I know you have to get back to work. Thank you so much for your time, my friend. Stay cool, and we hope, well, everybody can follow along at CATS to watch along to see how the budget hearings go this week. And we get Labor Day off. That's good.
Hey,
put your feet up and enjoy it.
It's a big weekend with the Forestry Festival.
Huge.
And a lot of people going on. Now, I may be off next Tuesday. I'm still working that out. But if so, we'll find somebody who can tell you what's going on, all right?
Yeah, send me your chief negotiator. She always
okay.
does a great job. And by the way, good job getting 4th Street open. I know it's going to be close. It should be open for the weekend. I walked on it. It was paved on Saturday night. So that's a big people
we
don't
should talk about that project again. Yeah, I went there right before they closed it up. It was really something to see. So
yeah, there's culverting and other things in there. It's just not as easy as paving the street over. That project will start moving south-southwest, correct, as we move on?
No, it's that. That's done. The waterway is finished. The last piece will be at the Indiana and 6th Street intersection, the intake, right there at Dunn Meadow.
The
so
bathtub.
We got to work on that next year.
The bottom of the bathtub.
Exactly.
Bring
there
your
we go.
Yeah. Just I don't. What do? Just blow it up and start over. I'm guessing it's going to be. It's
I
going
think
to be.
We got
close.
A better plan than that.
Oh, good.
I don't know. I'm hoping. Yeah.
But we've
I'll
all.
Talk to you.
We'll see you, buddy. Get out of here. Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thank you, John Bye. Hamilton, the mayor, City of Bloomington. We do have fun, and we do hopefully get you good information as well. And we appreciate the mayor finding time for us most Tuesdays.